the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Thank you for being with us. Our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. David G. Hall has some issues. He is our vice president of syndication. We're going to have him up later on in the program. We have Vernon Dozier, a Belmar Academy teacher. He is the head football coach there. He is a member of their board. He's also a very good friend of Father James McQuarters. Father McQuarters has the parish there at Belmar. And we're going to talk with him about yesterday's earthquake in Virginia. 877-8, I shouldn't say Virginia. I know it's scared a lot of people, and my heart and my best wishes are with you guys, because I know how scary those are. The first earthquake that I ever lived through, I was telling you, Bud, was the and Robert, was the Sylmar quake.
Yeah, you said you don't tell people about a Sylmar quake. You ran nude.
Yeah,
I didn't run nude. Okay.
You said you went out nude.
I did not. Every time I tell you guys something, you get it wrong. Okay.
What would you said?
I said I went outside in my underwear. Is that nude?
Well, yeah. You're wearing. Did they hug a bun?
Did they hug a bun? What is it with that brain damage of yours, man?
I meant the bun hug.
Bun huggers, okay? No, they were hangers, what we used to call hangers.
What's that?
Boxer shorts.
But you call them hangers.
Because they, you know how kids today pull their pants down so you see their underwear?
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid, we had our underwear hang out from underneath our swimsuits, our shorts. So we called them hangers. So you put on your shorts or you put on your swimming suit, and your hangers would hang, so you had your underwear. It's like the opposite of today.
What?
It's, I don't know. Don't ask me. That's what we did. All right, so anyway, I ran outside. I was in my underwear. It was the 71 Sylmar quake. It was in February of 71. I'll never forget. I was going to PCC at the time, Pasadena City College. And the thing that I distinctly remember, of course, running outside was the wrong thing to do, but I didn't know. I thought it was they were working on the street, or they were doing some jackhammering or something. I had no idea what it was. Then I realized it was an earthquake. It was a 6.6, Jason? The Sylmar? No. Are you kidding? I don't remember it as being that strong. I remember, I do know that we had a loss of life. Veterans Administration Hospital, which I think was in the valley, I can't remember where, part of it collapsed, killing some of the men. At the VA hospital, right? And I remember, the thing that I remember the most is going outside. There I am in my underwear, and I'm staring at the moon. I don't know why, but I looked up at the, it was a full moon. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, so it was getting light out. And the other thing that I remember was hearing dogs barking, burglar alarms going off, and babies crying.
What was the babies was crying about what?
About the earthquake, man.
About the earthquake? What do you think they're crying about?
I don't know. Maybe they were hungry. Maybe it was their feeding time.
No, I think maybe it was the earthquake. What were they crying? Yeah, so I heard dogs barking. The dogs are going crazy. And the burglar alarms were tripped by this thing up and down the street. So you could hear all these burglar alarms going. And babies. I could hear these one or two or three infants suddenly crying. And then it was over. But I'm telling you, L.A., this was the first earthquake in my adult years. I don't remember anything like that happening. And L.A. was awake. Everybody was awake, you know. And thus began the preoccupation with the big one. That's where it all started. That's where the big one. Well, I'm going to get the big one. You know, the big one.
Didn't talk about John Holmes neither, is he?
Man, that wasn't even funny, man.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. And that's why I tell you to shut up. When I talk to you, then you can talk. When you ad lib, you suck.
They ain't talking about John Holmes, did they?
They thought it was funny.
Anyway, so that began the preoccupation with what we call the big one, the big earthquake. And you remember the movie that came out? You guys are too young to remember. The movie came out, Earthquake, the most, I thought it was one of the funniest things I ever saw in my life. Forgive me for saying, but I did. Because the funniest part of the movie, in any of those disaster movies, if they suck, the funniest part of the movie is when some guy dies. And this guy had a cigarette, and it's in the movie, and he's got the cigarette. Oh, I forgot to turn the gas off. And he runs into the house, and then, you know, cut to the long shot. You know, the house just blows up. So anyway, that was that. All right, tonight, though, we have Vernon Dozier on the line with us. Vernon, do you remember the 71 quake?
Phil, I do indeed. I remember the 71 quake because I was also going to school at the time. I was at UCLA, and I was taking physical education. At that time, there was a head coach at UCLA by the name of Tommy Prothro. He was a head football coach, and I was fortunate enough to be a assistant with him, not on field assistant, but I was on staff for stats and for taking care of just odds and ends as a student staff member. So I remember we were I was on the field, watering the field. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, and as you said, it was almost right at 6 o'clock. And I got up early that morning, went over to school, and I started watering the practice field. And I remember because we were going to be starting spring football soon, and I remember someone running on the field and saying there was just an earthquake. I said, I thought that I was, and I know you said this, Phil, and I forgive me, but I said I thought I was hungover. Because I had spent...
I know. No, I've got a good story about that, too.
Because I had spent the night before over at the fraternity brother was going away. He was going transferring to another school, and we'd had a party for him. I literally thought I was hungover, and that's why I thought the ground was wobbling a bit, and that's when someone ran on the field and said, we just had an earthquake. And that's when I...
kind of put up your watering duties, huh?
That's about when I put the watering duties aside, and I... And I remember going to class that morning, and you probably, I think you said you went to class, too.
I went to class, and the first aftershock, everybody was so freaked out that the professor said, okay, just get out of here, go home, you know.
Yeah, same with me, same with us. We had, I had two biology, in fact, I had a biology pop quiz, or supposedly we were going to take a pop quiz, and I went in, I was well prepared, and they just let everybody go home that day.
Now, what about this Virginia earthquake that that is significant for you? You said that you had been in contact with family back there.
Amber, my wife, has a brother who lives back there, and he, in fact, her family, most of her family is in the Alexandria, Virginia area, and so they were not in the center of the state, but they did obviously feel it because Alexandria is.
That's right next to D.C.
It is right next to D.C. So. You know, I got a call from her brother Ray, and he was anxious and wanted to know about earthquake kits, earthquake preparedness, and everything like that. I mean, we talked about the earthquake, and I told him what I knew. I said, well, you're probably going to have some aftershocks and so forth.
Were they okay?
Oh, yeah, they were fine. There was, I think they had some things falling off the shelves. It was pretty significant. Because they were so close to the epicenter, you know.
Well, the thing that blows my mind is it was a 5.8, so it's not even as close as the Sylmar quakes being a 6.6. And, of course, the Northridge quake was off the chart. What was the Northridge quake?
The Northridge quake?
The Northridge quake.
The Northridge quake was 7, something like that.
Okay. So, anyway, the reason I'm saying is that 5.8, and yet they felt it up in New York, they felt it in Georgia, to my way of thinking, it's not a very powerful earthquake.
No, it's not. But if the epicenter of that thing is close to the surface of the Earth, if it's deep, and you get a 5.8, something like that, you may not feel it in as wide a radius. But if it's closer to the surface of the Earth, if the fault, where that fault line and where that plate shift occurs, you could get it. You could feel it.
Are you a geologist or?
No, I'm not a geologist. No, I'm just. What I know, things that I've, you know, I like to talk about earthquakes from personal experience. I'm not a geologist. But we're talking here, Phil, about the earthquake, and most Americans, 99.9% of Americans, don't know what we're talking about. They've never experienced one. And so I'm on your program talking about an earthquake, and I think I'm giving a credible description. I think I'm also sounding authoritative, and so when you say, oh, do you have a geology... I think it slows it down. I think I got people, I don't want to sound like a baby, but I had people thinking I knew what I was talking about, and it's a good feeling in my life, and maybe in yours. I don't get a lot of that kind of affirmation, so.
All right, I apologize. All right, look, now, let me just say this. The Northridge quake was a 6.9. The Sylmar quake was a 6.6. Jason, are you sure? The Northridge quake was a 6.9. The Sylmar quake in 1971 was a 6.6. A Snopes, okay, because I wouldn't trust Wikipedia, man. I wouldn't trust Wikipedia with Bud's eyes. So, but Snopes I do trust. So Snopes says a 6.6. Now, the quake in Virginia, your brother calls you, your brother-in-law.
My brother-in-law, yeah.
He calls you up, and what happens?
Well, he calls me up, and he says, boy, he wanted to talk, obviously, to Amber. He got on the line with his sister and my wife, and they talked. And then I got on the phone with him, and he was nervous, the family a little bit nervous. I understand that. I said, he said to me, they are, you know, suggesting that we put together earthquake preparedness kits, emergency kits, which is also very, very smart.
That is very smart. And anybody listening to us in Virginia, you should always have, if you're in an area where there's earthquakes, always have your earthquake preparedness kit, your earthquake emergency kit, which is water.
Well, it's before you get into that, I talked to Ray, and I told him to have things like, you know, masking tape. I told him to have things like razor blades. I told him that he needed to have a lot of coffee. I told him he needed a lot of paper towels. I told him that he needed 2 clocks.
Now, what is this that you're talking about?
I'm talking about the earthquake preparedness kit that I told him to put together.
And why? Why are you telling him these things?
Because, and this is the part of the story that I wanted to tell, but you wouldn't.
I want to hear, why are you telling your brother, is this an earthquake preparedness kit?
Yes.
That he's putting together?
Yes.
And you told him, what did you say to put in it?
I said, Phil, that I wanted him to get 2 clocks, masking tape, razor blades, paper towels, bathroom slippers, you know, shower cap. I told him a lot of nonsense, is what I'm saying, okay? And the reason why I told him a lot of nonsense is because right at that moment, when I was feeling sorry for him and his family in Virginia, and I felt bad that they'd gone through this quake, and I wanted them to have an earthquake preparedness kit, suddenly I was reminded of something that he did to me. And I'm sorry to have to put it this way, but that's what I did.
So you purposefully misled him?
Yes.
All right, hold on. I want to find out what it was that he did to you. I got to take a break. All right?
Well, I don't want it to seem like I'm being, I have my reasons.
I understand. Hold on. We're going to take a break with Vernon Dozier on the earthquake preparedness kit that he told his brother-in-law to put together back in Virginia and why he misled his brother-in-law on the same day that they had this 5.8 earthquake. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and more information for you on earthquake preparedness, etc. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier, who is the head football coach, athletic director at Belmar Academy, as well as their math and science advisor for their senior and junior classes, and he's on the board there at Belmar Academy. And we're talking here about something in your personal life, Vernon, and that was the earthquake in Virginia. It was a 5.8, and that is not a big one, comparatively speaking. But nonetheless, as we've so often said, when it's your first one...
Well, yeah, absolutely, Phil. When it's your first earthquake, you know, it doesn't make any difference, because I can tell you, my first earthquake, I don't know if it was Silmar. It might have been a little bit earlier. They had a Long Beach quake about a year or so before that I seem to remember, but there's no question it's a frightening experience, and I feel for my family. They are my in-laws, my wife's in-laws, but when this, you know, when Ray got on the phone and he said, can you help me put together an emergency earthquake kit, I suddenly remembered what he had, you know, said when I married his sister. She's quite a bit younger than me. And I married her the day after she graduated from high school. She had been one of my students.
And okay, yeah, now I remember. It's your wife, Amber, right?
That is correct, yeah. my wife, Amber. It's always been my wife. Well, I was married once before.
Well, your previous wife died, right?
That's correct, yes. Carolyn.
Okay.
So,
I remember this. So you married this girl, and you had not been, and I'm just asking, you had not been, involved with her?
No, she was a student of mine, Phil. A student of mine. She turned 18 on the day she graduated. Okay.
Now, did you tell me that as soon as she walked off the stage, she walked right off the stage into your Volkswagen?
Into my Volkswagen Jetta. That's right. I had a Volkswagen Jetta. I was waiting. I had the engine running. She came right off the stage, went around the back of the car, threw her hat, threw that cap, that thing, I don't know what you call it, a mortarboard, threw that off into the back seat, got in, and we took off, and we got married that night.
Where did you get married?
Well, if I tell you where we got married, I don't want to make this a big thing. This is not about me and Amber, okay?
No, I know, but I'm just curious.
We got married in Las Vegas. Oh, okay, so what does that make me?
Nothing, I was curious. So you got married in Las Vegas, and then what?
And then we went to the Blue Moon Motel that I told you about, and her brother came by, not her brother, I think her father and her brother both drove by, and they got angry because at that time I didn't have the Jetta. Now I remember what I had. I had a 57 Chevy. It was a two-tone, and I had it jacked up in the back, okay? It had those big racing meets on it. You remember that car?
No, I never saw that, but you told me about it, yeah.
Okay. They got angry because they saw my Chevy parked with the rear end jacked up, parked at the Blue Moon Motel, and all the lights were off in the room in the car. And they just, for some reason, that bothered them. Because a half an hour before, they saw their sister graduating, their daughter and their sister graduating from high school, and now within 30 minutes, there's my car parked at the Blue Moon.
And they know that she's in there with you?
Yeah. All right. She was married to me. She was married to me. So,
all right. I mean, but, and you got this, and...
A big deal. You know, Phil, just get over it.
Well, there's something about a guy's two-tone Chevy with the racing meets on the back, the ass end jacked up, parked in a motel, and you know in there is the guy and your sister. I don't know.
Well, I mean...
It's like a guy with a red baseball cap in a convertible. You know, just makes the guy just a target.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm just saying, you know, it's a pretty... I don't know. I can't explain it. But where's my sister? Oh, there she... Oh, yeah, now I recognize there's Vernon's two-tone Chevy.
Let me tell you what, I was very proud of that car, okay? I had I put a 327 in that, and it was, at the time, it was one of the fastest cars in the Irwindale... I'll tell you, it was one of the fastest cars in the Irwindale-Colton quarry area. Okay.
Well, that's great.
Excuse me?
Oh, in the Irwindale Colton Quarry area.
There's a lot of badass. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's a lot of badass boys over there. There's a lot of guys running some pretty hot machines over there. Oh, wow.
Well, you know something, man? It's not the same as saying I got the fastest ride in Southern California or I got the fastest. I had the fastest machine.
That's right. In the river. Go ahead. Make fun of it. Let's say it together.
In the Irwindale?
Irwindale Colton Quarry area.
Irwindale Colton Quarry area.
That's right. You know, I didn't come on your program to be humiliated or laughed at or told that I was some sort of a turd in a punch bowl.
Punch bowl?
In a punch bowl. Because I happen to have a pretty quick ride. Okay? And yes, it's a Chevy. Okay, and I know you're going to say something about that.
Well, too bad it's not a Ford.
You got something to beat it? Well, I don't understand. Why are you laughing?
We sound like a couple of kids.
It's a Chevy. Okay, it's not a Ford. Have you got something to beat it?
You know I got my Jag.
Oh. I got 350 horse at the wheel.
I got 390.
You know something, Phil?
This is childish. We're not talking about cars, and we're not talking about street racing now. We're talking about the earthquake kit that you prepared for a brother, an earthquake kit that you gave him wrong information about, and I want to know why.
I just told you, because his brother, I didn't marry a man.
Her brother.
Her brother was one of the prime antagonists when we got married. He made a big noise about how I was some kind of a pervert. He made a big noise.
All right, hold the line here. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier as we talk about Vernon's in-laws and the earthquake kit that they're putting together that he purposely misled them on because years ago they were against him marrying Amber, their daughter and sister. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here, and with me, Vernon Dozier. So you see, we're talking a little bit about cars. You see what I have on the, I'll show my audience at home who's watching on Phil TV and HD. You see that Chevy?
Yeah, I see that Chevy. I'm not, that doesn't knock me out. I mean, I had, my 57 was, let me put it to you this way, Phil. My 57 was a very classic. I had a soft top on it. That thing's got those outer space fins. I don't know who put that together, but I don't want to say, you know.
No, go ahead.
Really?
Well, okay. Are we going to get racial here?
No, I'm not going to get racial, but it looks like something that, you know, one of your, if you want to be, I'll be pulling one of our Hispanic friends probably, because they love to do that. They love to put those big-ass fins. That's not any kid. I mean, he customized that nice, you know.
All right, well, let's not talk about that, okay?
You're the one that led me into the racial thing.
It's not racial, but you're saying that Hispanic or Mexican-American car clubs, they tend to have a far more, a great flourish with the way they customize their cars, right?
Well, if you call that a flourish, I call it gaudy. That thing looks like some, it looks like something that landed from outer space. I wouldn't drive that. You think I'm going to have my wife? If I'm going to park in a motel, and I regret the night that I took her to a motel for our honeymoon, but at least I had my 57 parked out there and not something from Planet X.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Vernon Dozier about this earthquake kit. All right, so you've got her brother on the phone. You told him to put together an earthquake kit that had masking tape.
Yeah.
What was the stuff?
It was just a lot of stuff. I mentioned, I don't know where that list is. I said, he said, we are very afraid. We're very, very afraid. And that's when I should have, and I didn't. He said, my mother, which is Amber's mother, is upset. And the grandmother was very upset. I said, get a shower cap. I just started rolling off things that, man, I said, seat covers, you know.
Seat covers?
Yeah. I mean, I said anything. And I was purposely trying to ball him up and make screw it up. And here was my reason, Phil. Here was my reason. When I married his sister, he had some things to say about how I was a little bit exotic and different. And he thought there was something exotic about me.
And what does that mean, exotic?
In other words, he thought that I had a very I can't explain it.
Perverted?
No, not perverted. Not perverted.
Well, that you were robbing the cradle?
No, because he knew his sister was of age. She was 18. But I think that was part of it. I think he thought that I was slightly cradle robbing, even though she was 18. And she was 18. I didn't touch her until she was 18. And I didn't touch her until she graduated from high school.
Yeah, but the night she graduated from high school, you guys went directly to the Justice of the Peace. You flew to Vegas, right?
We flew to Vegas, we got married, and we came back that night. We spent the night at the Blue Moon Hotel in Vegas. No, actually, we flew back. The Blue Moon is up in Santa Barbara, yeah.
The Blue Moon Motel.
That's right, the Blue Moon Motel.
All right, so what did you tell them to get?
So he tells me that when I marry his sister, he said, you know, you are, he said, I haven't been able to make you out. I said, what are you talking about, Ray? He said, I can't figure you, but you're some kind of a real exotic guy. And I said, what does that mean? He said, I said, are you calling me a pervert? Just the question you asked.
Yeah.
He said, no. He said, I'm saying that you're worse. He said, you going after my sister, and there's a 30-year age difference. Okay, I was 48 when I married her, and she's now 28. So that's been, we've been married 10 years. And he said I was real exotic. He said there was something about me that was exotic and libertine and this guy. He's using all these big words. And I
Well, you're a school teacher. What do you mean big words?
Yes, I am a school teacher, Phil, but no one knows what libertine means. No one I know knows what libertine means.
Isn't that someone who was sexually liberal? Isn't that what they used to call him in the 18th century?
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know that I was talking to, one of the well-read historians. I didn't know I had on Will and Ariel Durant here. God.
Well, you know something? You're the teacher, man. You ought to know these things.
I don't know what that means. You know something, Phil? Just because I've seen King Kong doesn't mean I know what to do with a monkey. If the thing was to ever get out of its cage and start rampaging through the streets of New York. Just because I've seen King Kong doesn't mean that I... You see what I'm saying? Just because I've seen King Kong doesn't mean I'm going to stop riding an elevated train. So what I'm trying to...
Whatever that means, I have no idea what that...
What I'm saying is, think about it. Just because I've seen King Kong doesn't mean I'm not going to ride an elevated train.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what that means?
No, I don't know what that means.
What happened? Did you see King Kong?
Yes, I saw King Kong.
What happened to the elevated train?
King Kong attacked it and destroyed it.
Okay, just because I've seen King Kong don't mean I ain't going to ride no elevated train.
So just because you have seen something bad doesn't mean you won't still forge ahead.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Well, what are you trying to say?
I said...
Don't forget it, man. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, just because you've seen King Kong...
Never mind. I don't want anybody explaining it to me. Do you understand? Nobody. What I did hear you say is this. The brother of your wife... was scared. The family was scared. They wanted advice on how to get an earthquake kit put together. I imagine by now they've gotten better advice because there's no shortage of advice when it comes to that kind of thing. But you thought you'd have some fun, huh?
I thought I would. No. I was not trying to toy with him.
All right. Well, you weren't trying to toy with him. What you wanted to do, though, is have this guy put together an earthquake kit that was completely wrong so he would look stupid in front of people.
Yes. That's what I wanted. Yes. And I don't know if it worked. I don't know if anybody said to him today would be the day he would have gone out to get the masking tape and all the things I said. I don't know if anyone, I've been waiting by the phone, and you wanted to have me on the show, so I've had to, take this, but Amber's in the other room on the other line waiting for the call.
And what call?
Waiting for the call from somebody from her family to say that Ray went out and got a jacked up earthquake kit.
Is this the kicks that you're getting today?
Yes. Exactly. You don't understand, Phil. When you've got a whole family against you and you love a woman and you want to marry a woman and the whole family thinks you're some kind of an exotic freak, like you're into some... When he said exotic and I started thinking about it, I thought, I bet you I know what he means. He thinks I dress up like a girl. Or he thinks I dress up in women's, not like totally, but I probably wear a woman's underpants. Underpants and
okay, so therefore what?
He thinks I'm like a guy that likes to wear the underpants.
The underpants. Okay, so meaning he thinks you're some weird ass, not a gay guy, not a pervert.
No, just some exotic weird ass, like you were saying. So when I got to thinking about that, it's been 10 years too since he said that to me, and we have had good relations and we have talked like men. But I have plotted and I have planned and I have done the things that I need to do to finally get to where I need to be so that I could one day give it on back to him in spades. And this earthquake offered me that opportunity.
So the big thing was because he humiliated you.
No, it's not the big thing, Phil. Please don't minimize it.
No, I'm not. But because he humiliated you with regard to your sister. And I want to ask you something. When you married this girl... You were 48, she was 18?
Correct.
Now, you understand that there are people, and I'm not saying that they're right or wrong, but I'm just, as we like to say on the show, you have to negotiate your way through life, so you have to speak the language.
No, I know there are people that think that's weird. I know there are people that thought I was a pervert. I know there were people that thought I was robbing the cradle, and they thought that I'd had sex with her when she was a student, And none of that happened, okay?
Oh, no, I know that. But it also is very unusual for a girl to walk off the stage as a senior, get into the car of a man, and go off and marry him, having never been intimate with him. Can you imagine the fear that that family had?
That's what escapes me. I don't understand that. I told them everything was good. And
you wind up parked in front of a motel. I mean, the whole thing is going to freak them out.
Well, it freaked them out a little too much. And the reason, and that's why I said to Ray, here's what you do, okay? And I knew that my time had come. When he called me up and said that...
No, but do you understand what I'm saying? That this would scare them, and that's a big age difference. And, you know, I realize you're now 10 years married.
That's exactly right, 10 years married. So when Ray called me up and said, I'm scared, the family's scared, can you give me help with an earthquake kit? Man, I knew that a warm feeling came over me, like, thank you, God, the time has arrived. And I said, Ray, I want you to sit down and write this stuff down, and that's what I did. I told him, you get 2 shower caps, get Tabasco sauce, get a ceiling fan. I must have had him go out and get $1,000 worth of just junk.
So?
It's funny. It's really funny. And the thing that pisses me off, excuse my language, is that I'm on the phone with you. Amber's on the other line waiting for the call to come in.
Now, you're expecting a call to come in from her family saying what?
They're going to call up, and they're going to say, you ass, you made an ass out of Ray. You made a hopping ass out of him. He was running around town buying ceiling fans and turtle wax. I mean, I'm laughing my ass off, and I can't wait. And, you know, as a matter of fact...
Well, do you want to find out?
Yeah, hold on. Amber, honey, if they called... Well, what's the story with them? Well, I don't understand. Get them to call. Call them up and find out. See, call up and ask them, hey, is Ray there? And find out. It's what? It's 3:15 back there in the morning now. Shoot.
You know what? You're just going to have to wait till tomorrow. I mean, you don't want to make it seem like you're eager, you know?
Well, I know what they're doing. He's holding back. He went out. He got a whole earthquake kit full of all this stuff. Rubber gloves, you know, a car muffler. I sent him on a wild goose chase, you know, raid, ant killer. And he's got about $1,000 worth of garbage sitting. It's beautiful, I got to tell you. Did he call? He ain't called yet. So I know what they're doing. They're sitting back there pissed off, and he doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that I made a chimpanzee out of him. I mean, I put that boy into chimpware. And now what do you think he's going to do?
Well, I guess he's not going to call up and admit it.
You better believe it. That's the last thing he's going to... That's why I said, just because I've seen King Kong doesn't mean I ain't going to get on the A-train. If I want to go uptown, I'm going uptown, and King Kong ain't going to stop me. And I put that brother-in-law of hers, I put him into a 3-piece chimp suit.
All right, hang on, okay?
Yeah, you bet.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So Vernon put Amber's brother, his brother-in-law, put him in a 3-piece chimp suit. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I knew him very well.
You did?
I did.
We have Vernon Dozier on the line with us here, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. And we're talking to Vernon about the earthquake in Virginia. How many members of... Where is she from? She's from Alexandria?
The family is in Alexandria. Amber came out here with her father and her mother when she was very young. And her father's an engineer and has worked over at Lockheed, and he's worked a lot of places. And she and the family, the rest of the family's in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay. So you marry her, and they are bent out of shape. What about the parents?
Father was the one who accosted me. I was working at, you know, I had just come from a game, and I was on my way to Subway. I went into Subway, And I got a tuna and with the pepperoncinis. I don't know if you ever get the Subway, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You know, they've got a wonderful tuna. I really love the tuna. And I got a 6-inch tuna. Okay. And I walked out, and her father was between automobiles. I didn't know this, but this guy is, what do you call when they do it to a woman?
When they do it to a woman?
Stalking me.
He was stalking you?
Yeah, he was waiting for me to come out. And he pushes me and says, what are you doing, you know, with my daughter? I said, I'm not doing a thing with your daughter. Not a thing. He said, well, what are the two of you got cooked up? He says, what do you got cooked up for after graduation? I said, well, I said, that's for me to know and you to find out. That's when he pushed me again. And this sandwich, which I had looked very much forward to, and again, you've never had the tuna at Subway, because if you haven't, I suggest very, very earnestly that you have the tuna 6-inch. Okay, not the 12-inch, but the 6-inch, because the flavor is more, it's more in it. I don't know how you say it, you know, and they don't use a lot of mayo. And
okay, that's great. So the father, I'm more interested in the father pushing you.
Yeah, he pushed me. He says, what do you got cooked up for after graduation? Because I called the Blue Moon Hotel, he says, and they've got you down for a weekend honeymoon suite package. And he says to me, and what do you mean the honeymoon suite package? Because that Blue Moon Motel is a dump. And I said, boy, you better smile when you say that. I said, because a friend of mine owns it. He says, well, it's a dump. I said, it's got, and I shouldn't have said, I said, but they do have that vibrating bed and everything like that. And
oh, boy, you really know how to endear yourself to the father of an 18-year-old girl that you're about to marry.
Well, hold the line here, Phil. I never laid a hand on that girl. I come out, and I didn't do anything to this guy. He pushes me twice. The second time, I can't. See, you won't.
What am I not hearing?
It was a 6-inch tuna.
What's the thing with the 6-inch tuna?
It's the best. Boy, you gotta know. You don't. You sure don't know your sandwiches, do you? A 6-inch Subway tuna is the best.
What difference does it make if it's a 6-inch Subway tuna? Are you telling me that this really pissed you off?
Yes, it pissed me off. He's talking to me about it. Yes, I'm interested in his daughter. And yes, 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 yes. I'll give you it all. I'll give you every yes you want to hear. All right? Okay?
I'm not asking for anything but the truth.
All right, I'm giving you the truth. But the thing that bothered me more than anything else, and I said to him, I said, okay, right there. Now, mister, you owe me for a 6-inch Subway. And I said it to him, and boy, he didn't forget it.
And well, if you said it to him the way you're saying it to me now, yeah, he must have been really scared.
Okay, I'm a little bit. Let me tell you something. I said to him, you owe me for a.
Were you scared? You were scared of this guy.
Was I scared of him? No, Phil, I was scared of him. Yes, a little bit. He's a wrestler, all right? The guy had been a wrestler in college. And he had wrestled Wahoo McDaniel. I knew a little bit about him.
Who?
Wahoo McDaniel. Wow, you don't even know who he is. Wahoo McDaniel played linebacker for the New York Jets, and they went on to become a professional, famous wrestler. Now, Wahoo McDaniel and this man, Amber's father, whose last name I won't give and whose first name I won't give by court order, I'm not allowed to.
And so there was some litigation around all this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. But he wrestled he tag-teamed with Wahoo McDaniel and wrestled against him.
Well, I don't know what this was. Is it the 60s or?
Yeah, 60s and 70s, yeah. Right over here at the Olympic Auditorium. Okay, with
Bobo Brazil and those guys?
Exactly.
Okay, so you were afraid of this guy.
Well, no, I wasn't. I said, no, I was not afraid of him. He pushed me, and the 6-inch tuna hits the deck. It hits the asphalt. And he says to me, get a load of this guy. He thinks he's being funny. He says, 3-second rule. I said, are you trying to be funny? He said, I'm dead serious, 3-second rule, pick it up. So he picked it up instead. And he wipes it on his pants and hands it to me. And he wiped it on the groin area, okay? So.
Well, all right. This sounds like a couple of grown men acting like children in the middle of a parking lot.
Wait. I'm not the one that picked up the sandwich and rubbed it on my crotch. He did.
That's fine. He did. You know, you have an inability to understand the human race here, okay?
I do.
Yes. You've got an 18-year-old girl. This is this man's daughter. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. He hears that she's going to marry you when she graduates. He sees that you've got some reservation for the Blue Moon Motel. And then you're coming out of this sandwich shop. The guy's emotional. You could have handled this a lot better, you know?
What am I supposed to do?
Well, don't start, you know, that line, that's for me to know and you to find out.
He asked me, what if you two got cooked up?
And you said, that's for me to know and you to find out. Naturally, he's going to push you. He's already pissed off and scared. Now your stupid tuna sandwich hits the deck.
Whoa, hold the phone, pal. Boy, you sure don't know your tuna sandwiches. Because
I don't care if I know my tuna sandwich. Are you nuts or something? Who cares about that? All right, so your tuna sandwich hits the deck.
All right, so he picks it up and he says, it's a three-second rule. And I said, whatever. I mean, the tuna's laying right on the asphalt where, for all I know, it looked like there had been an infant or a minor child of some that had it looked as if there was spit up. It went right into the spit up. And this guy picks it up, says 3 second rule, and wipes it off right in his crotch.
You know, Vernon, I've never heard you get so weepy and teary eyed.
I'm not weepy and teary eyed.
Well, you're all wipes it off right in his crotch. I can't understand how you can't see that this man would be upset.
Of course he's upset.
Then why would you say that's for me to know and you to find out?
Because that was the guy. We weren't going to tell nobody until afterwards. We was going to elope.
We weren't going to tell nobody until afterwards. We was going to elope. And you're a teacher.
I'm nervous, Phil. The guy, he rubbed it on his crotch. I understand.